Good morning. If you could pop the slides on for me, that would be great. Hello. See, unconventional. Oh, it was great this morning just to be able to celebrate and enjoy Josiah, and thank you for friends and family who are coming along this morning. I came across this quote, and this quote has been used lots of different times in lots of different ways, but the original was just simply, "It takes a village to raise a child." So let's just keep that in mind as we talk and look at a few thoughts from the Bible, not only on children, but on the family of God. So Matthew 19:13 says this, and we read it out. I think this was the one. It might be the other one. "Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them, and they departed from there." And that's what we did, didn't we? We laid hands on that beautiful little boy's life, and we asked that Jesus would bless them. So I thought this morning, so what can we learn from that? Jesus had children, and the scholars tell us some of them were actually babes in arms, brought to him so he could bless them. Jesus was interested in children. Now you have to remember, this was a society where while they lived in clans, they were all together. Children were often seen and not heard. They would have been around and in everything, you know, but they very much had their place. And here you've got Jesus bringing them right in. If you study, we know the Hebrews had a day called the Day of Atonement, and that was when babies would be brought to the elders to be blessed by them, the elders of the tribe. Well, this can't be that day, because the disciples who would have known about that says, no, let's keep the children away. Today's not the day. What does that tell us? That with Jesus, there is no special day. It's whenever. Perhaps they would have been kind. You know, Jesus has had a long day. Parents, have you ever had a long day? I'm sorry, Jesus says, even when you've had a long day, you know, and you just want a bit of space, he says, no, bring them to me. Children were often around, but seen and not heard. The act does two things. Children should be blessed whenever. Children of believing parents belong to the kingdom and are members of the visible church. He says this, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Wasn't that what David prayed? Yeah? This child is in the kingdom. Jesus wants children to be around. Now, I started to think about, you know, what's it like when children are around. I have four, Samuel who's 11, Jacob who's 9, Chloe who's 5, and Amelia who's 4. Yes, that's right as well. And I've got this great saying. I mean, we went out for breakfast yesterday, and I just looked and I said to Claire, "I love my kids. Individually, they're incredible. Collectively, they're a handful." And we can all talk about those things, and we all know if we've been parents, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the things that when children are around, they bring life. They bring adventure. That's code for unpredictability. You just don't know what's going to happen. Children heal wounds between family members. Children cause us to drop our guards down. Have you ever seen them? "God, look at you!" We act our true selves when babies are around. And then I thought about this. Children are great to have around when you're in shops and you need the toilet and there are no public toilets, so you can use the staff ones instead. I did that the other week. B&Q have no toilets. I've got Amelia, she needs the loo. Got anywhere. All access, that's what children do. They get you places you're not supposed to go. What else does it tell us? When you are like a child, you're like the kingdom of heaven. So I thought about that a little bit more. Do you know, you don't need to teach a... You don't need to teach a child about faith. Think about it. You don't need to teach a child about faith. Faith is believing in something that you can't see. My children did that. In fact, actually, we have to teach them who not to believe and who not to trust, because they trust everyone. I'm always pulling their legs. Yeah, I'm always having fun. And now they know not to believe me at all. I'm walking around the house and go, Daddy does everything. And it's just become a thing now. Whenever I do a job in the house, Daddy does everything. And they go, no, it's Mommy. Children don't need to be taught about faith. They simply believe. Children don't struggle with forgiveness. Now, I'm just going to give you my experience. This is not maybe across all the genders. But my two daughters, they are falling out all the time. I didn't have it the same way with my boys. I can only tell you about me. But my daughters, you're not my best friend. Chloe did this to me. Chloe's not my best friend anymore. Amelia is not my best friend. And you'd think it was the end of the world. And literally, something terrible has happened. Chloe's screaming. I can't understand a word she's saying. And Amelia's in this dreadful thing. And I want to get justice. Right, I need to know what's happened. So I get them all lined up. I get my notepad out. And I remember I've said this before, Mum said to me once, Ben, you just don't need to do that. And within seconds, children go from it being devastated, the end of the world, I'm going to die, to playing again, as though they're the best of friends. Children don't struggle with forgiveness. Children are like a sponge. They watch and copy everything. I do not say that, Claire. Things in blue are the Hebrew words extended. Matthew 18:1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest, the largest, the biggest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to them, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted, turned around and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Not surprised when children don't struggle with faith or forgiveness. Therefore, whoever humbles himself, makes himself low, as his little child Therefore, whoever humbles himself, as his little child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives, takes the hand of, is what that means. One little child like this, in my name, receives, takes my hand, receives me. So what can we learn from this? It is not wrong to want to be great. Don't all children want to be great? Don't they want to be great? They want to be superheroes, princesses, princes, kings. They want to be... We went through a time when whoever the hero of the film was, Samuel wanted to be. It didn't matter what it was, he wanted to be. We spent a fortune in costumes. Jesus says it's not wrong to want to be great. But Jesus brings a child into the midst and redefines what greatness looks like. It requires you to turn around. Why? Because as we grow, we lose that childlikeness. Not childish, childlikeness. We seem to lose it and we have to turn around. It requires you to make yourself low. When we embrace a child, we embrace Jesus. We get a glimpse of Jesus' heart towards children, but also what draws him near to you and I. When we are childlike, it says, oh man, it's as though you're taking my hand. See, there's a difference from childish to childlike. John 1:12. Hold on, no, let me back up. We get a glimpse of Jesus' heart towards children, but also what draws him near to you and I. We as Christians, we call Jesus Father. So if God is our Father, then we are his. Got it right. That was close, you know. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, there's that word received again that we read in the other one, means to take your hand. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We are all, when we believe in the name of Jesus, he calls us sons. He calls us daughters. We're all children of God. When will my boy Sammy, who's 12 in April, stop being my child? When I'm 60 and he is older, will people ask me how many children I've got or how many adults I've got? How many children have you got? And it doesn't matter what age you are. The title of this is All Age Church. You're a child of God. And we've seen what Jesus thinks of children. The physical Lord Jesus on the earth gave a physical example of a child. And he says it's also like us. When we're his spiritual children, he sees it in the same way. He also tells us what he will do if we don't look after our physical children, our actual children, and it's the same for our spiritual one. He says this, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's what Jesus says when you harm a child. When you harm a child, Jesus simply says, woe to you. When you harm one of his spiritual children, Jesus simply says, woe to you. So what can we learn from this? When we harm children in their childlikeness, when we take advantage of children's sponge-like nature, trusting nature for ill gain, Jesus says, woe. And just as it is for a child of a young age, Jesus also says it for those who are his spiritual children. When we, in our childlikeness, are harmed, Jesus simply says to those who harm, woe. And sometimes he brings retribution here on earth, and sometimes he brings retribution in the age to come. But we are his children. When we embrace God as Father, he embraces us as sons and daughters. There's that word again, whoever receives. When we receive a child, receives Jesus. And when we receive and believe in Jesus, he receives us as little children. So what's God's plan for his earth, for his children here on earth? Here we are, we're his children. We're growing into people who are like Jesus. Just as my boys and my girls are growing more and more like me and Claire every day, we as Christ's children grow and become more and more like him. God's plan then was this, so we don't come to harm. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Did I put this down? Yes, look at that. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Verse 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. Jesus embraces us as sons and daughters, and he places us in a body, a church, an ecclesia. He places us in a group amongst people who he also calls his sons and daughters. When my child was born, they were born into my family. They took my name. They became Leeses. And boy, do you know when the Leeses turn up. We are loud, we are noisy, we are definitely here. And when we became Christians, we received God's name. And just as my children are in my family, God placed us in this family. We call ourselves a church family. All churches do. But all I know is about this church is that God's put something very specific on us about being a family towards each other. So what's God's big plan when children come in? They are to come into a family. What's God's big plan when we choose to follow Jesus? Is he places us in an ecclesia. Why ecclesia? Because that speaks more of people. Trouble is church, you think of buildings. He places us in a family of people that believe in Jesus too. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:12. We've not got time to read it all, but it goes on. It says, it talks about the body having many parts. It says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Do you know, you in church today, you're just where Jesus wants you. And the worst thing we can do in a family is wish we were like somebody else. I don't want Jacob to be like Samuel, Samuel to be like Jacob, Chloe to be like Amelia, Amelia to be like me, or what have you. They're who they are. And do you know what? God, they sometimes say the things I say. Chloe gets a look and it's my look. But it's Chloe. And she's exactly where she should be. You today in this church family, do you know you're exactly where God wants you to be? And he goes on, he says, in fact, some parts, hold on, no, it's this one. But our bodies have many parts and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if he only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. My hand will never have a physical, my right hand will never have a physical relationship with my right elbow. But boy, is it glad it's there when it wants to scratch my nose. I had a different analogy of noses, but I thought I'd go with scratch. Okay. Yeah, thank you. It's so glad I've got an elbow when I want to scratch my face. And yet it's never going to meet my elbow. But it's put exactly in the right place so the body works. And we think of children, and no matter how hard we try, and we do try, maybe we need to try harder, but when we think of children and family, we think of adults and kids. Do you know you're all children today in God? Do you know what the Bible says? Those who are older are part of the body of Christ. Proverbs 16:31. Grey hair is a crown of glory. Oh, that was no good. Let's go again. Grey hair is a crown of glory. I can't even say it. It is gained by a living godly life. Proverbs 20:29, the glory of the young is their strength. The grey hair of experience is the splendour of their old age. That's what he says. Psalm 68:6, God places the lonely in families. You don't have to live on your own to be lonely. Ever been lonely in a crowded room? But God says, you know, there's a place for you. God's word says he places you in families. He places you here. What does all-age church look like? It looks like this. It looks like this. When we are all sons and daughters, then we are all part of God's kingdom. John 13:34. So why does God do this? What does that say? Yeah, okay. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So what does love look like? Matthew 5:46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? You see, if we're really to be Christ's children, if we're really to be like him, then we don't just love, let's just deal with inside this church, those people that we hang around with. In fact, I love you and I'll go out of my way for you because you're a member of this church. Because that's what families do. And there are times, aren't there, where Samuel now is getting to the age where he's choosing what he wants to come and go to. And there are some things that are not negotiable because it's what we do as a family, Sam. And there's times when actually it's okay. But if we only love those who love us, then how are we reflecting Christ? Because if Christ only did that, then who really loved him? When we're sons and daughters, actually, when we're in a church family, we reach out in love because you're part of the family. It means I'll seek out needs that I can meet. I'll seek out things that I can do. It's actually going that extra mile for people that perhaps you don't know. If you always sit at that seat there, then you'll never meet the person who sits at that seat there. And it says, it doesn't matter. I don't love you just because I hang around with you. I love you because of who you are and you're part of my family. That's why Jesus put us in families. And maybe actually we need to get get working harder at the person sitting in that seat, meeting and greeting the person that sits in that seat. That's what families look like. And actually, when we love in that way, people will stop and say, hang on a minute, there's something different about these people. You know, church is unique. It's not like a sailing club, where everyone comes to the club because they love sailing. They have stuff to talk about. They do sailing together. They talk about pulleys and witches and life jackets and who's got the most expensive one and all this stuff. We're a charity as a church, but you know, the church isn't like a charity. People think, well, I love that cause. I'm going for that cause. I'm going to go and help out that charity and that cause. The church isn't like that. You know, we as a church family, we are brought from so many different backgrounds. And the one thing we've got in common is that we've met a risen Lord. But we have hugely, broadly different ways of seeing it and viewing it. Half of you wouldn't hang around with me, but you have to because I'm part of your family. And we may not have nothing in common outside of Jesus, but it's Jesus that brings us together. And that's why church is so unique. I don't walk alongside you because we do the same things, we enjoy the same things. I walk alongside you because the Christ in me sees the Christ in you, and we say yes and amen. And that's a world that says, wow. Being in a church family is deciding to put aside your physical family on Christmas Day and open up this place to anybody who is lonely. And give them lunch. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you for those that helped. Do you know it went viral on Facebook? Do you know I was panicking a little bit because there's a bit of a miscommunication, but it went on Facebook. If you're alone at Christmas, come and get some food. It was shared viewed 23,000 times and shared over 200 times. Now, normally we get views of maybe 100, Rich. Yeah, 23,000 people. I said, you've got to let John and Jenny know. I was envisaging, you know, John phoning saying, Ben, there's a lot of people here and they've told me you've invited them. On Christmas Day. See, when we show that kind of love, the world goes, huh? What would you do that for? 23,000 people. We had a conversation. Do we retract it? What do we do? What do we do? It was going up every day. I didn't sleep. John was like, that's fine. And somebody came. Didn't they, John? Somebody came. Not involved in solely or Christian fellowship, but somebody who would have been alone on Christmas Day came. Amen. Why? Because we showed love to one another. Jesus loved enough to give his life away. Do you know, the reason why he places us in families is not just so we love one another. We can't love like Jesus loved unless we have people alongside us, helping us and supporting us to talk to share it with, because Jesus demands our life. So we started with children. We started with the physical child, and we're all children of God, and we're here in this family together. Why? To love each other. Why? So a world out there can see there's a different way. 23,000 people. So we can show his love, because we can't genuinely show his love without the help of others who also call him Father. We can't. And that's what an all-age church looks like, because we need every single age perfectly placed in the right place. You know what? Don't look around and think, I wish I was like Fred, or I wish I was like Ginger. We haven't got a Fred and a Ginger in the room, have we? I try and pick names, you know, that aren't, he's talking about me. No, I'm not. You know, you are exactly in the right place. But I tell you, my hand needs to have a relationship with the middle of my back. Because it can't right now. That's just the one I'm trying to think of. So I need to go to some keep fit classes. And over time, all of a sudden, I'll be able to scratch the middle of my back. What do I mean by that? If we just love those people who are around us. You know, we kind of panic. If I get a new number, I've got to tell a million people my new number. No, the reality is it's probably for me 12. I may have 400 people in my address book, but actually, it's probably only 12. I need to grow that number because there's 200 people in this church. Do you understand that? And if we only love those that love us, and usually it's because we recognize the me in them. I love him. He's just like me. I love the you in me, as Danny Silk would say. And then we fall out of them when they stop being like me. But you're supposed to be like me. That's why I like you. See, that's not family. You don't come here. I remember once sitting in a meeting, and it must have really interested me because the Lord had got my attention on something else. And he said, Ben, people don't come to this church because of the worship. Sorry, guys. Don't worry, it gets better. And he said, Ben, people don't come to the church because of your speaking. People come to the church because of the relationship with one another. Because actually when they come here, they see it. But that relationship that we need to cultivate and go deeper and deeper amongst a broader amongst the people in here needs to shine out. It needs to go viral, but not in some social media space. Our love for one another in how we do things and how we do life needs to go far broader and deeper into a world that hangs around people because they all sail, or they all do this, or they all do that, and can't understand and fathom why a group of people would open a building on Christmas Day and give whoever comes along lunch. So why does it need a village? Actually, I've got a better slide, and then I'm going. It takes a village to raise a child. It does. It takes people. It takes the acceptance of others while mom and dad or grandparent are away for somebody else to pick them off the stage and say, sorry, sweetheart, there's not the place for you to go. Or it takes another to just take a hand and say, you're lost, let's find mummy. She's out getting a cup of coffee. It takes people. But as we're all the children of God, it takes a church family to become more like Jesus. I hope this morning you've enjoyed it. I've so enjoyed dedicating and loving Josiah. And I've so enjoyed looking at scriptures and seeing how God loves children and how God loves his children. My prayer is that as his children, we would become more like him. Have a wonderful afternoon. Andrea, just hand back over to you.